show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Get countdown. Six, five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey there, good afternoon, and welcome. Welcome to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network, coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches of gorgeous Southwest Florida. I think everybody in the country must be here right now. The roads are jammed. It's still kind of, we've still got some students here and people here for the Easter break and all that. And welcome to everybody that's here visiting. We're glad to have you. We hope you spend lots of money while you're here. That's what keeps the economy going here in Southwest Florida. Since there's virtually no manufacturing of any kind, it's almost all service related. Therefore, wages aren't, anything to write home about, that's for certain. How did I get started on that already? Hey, this is a talk show. I don't want to do all the talking today. I can if I have to, but I'd rather not. And I'd love to hear from you today. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. And, we got a comment on the chat room about loving our startup on our program. I happen to think it's the best in talk radio, period. I don't know. The Mike and the Mechanic song is one that I've always liked. It came out, I want to say right around 1988-89, somewhere in that neighborhood. I'm not exactly certain, but I always liked the words. Listen to the words that closely, word of mouth. It goes along with what we do here on this program anyway. Thank you to everybody for tuning in today. And again, that number is 866-546-5254. What shall we start off with today? I guess I should mention that, what did I do with my notes on this? We have a job opening that some of you might be interested in. What did I do with my notes on that? My God, I just opened the show and already I can't find it. Out of gas, the Washington Post reports that the White House is casting about for a high-powered czar who would have authority over both military and civilian operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. There is a problem. Nobody wants the job. They've asked at least three retired four-star generals, and they pretty much told them to stick it. They don't want to get stuck with that on their resume. Who would? But hey, it's probably a good-paying job. And, of course, as you well know, since it is a job in the Bush administration, you really wouldn't need any qualifications for it. I mean, if Brownie could get the job at FEMA? I mean, hell, there's a lot of people in the Bush administration don't have any qualifications for the job whatsoever. And I guess that's true in other administrations as well, but particularly in this one, especially when you consider the fact that there are 150 people in the Bush administration from Pat Robertson's esteemed Regent University, ranked really high up there amongst law schools. Oh, yeah. So there's a job opening. I don't know what it pays, but I imagine it's got to be in the, the mid-150s or so, 160s. But think about it. You know, you could probably go over there and stay in Baghdad and, go back and forth between there and Kabul. Have all that good Halliburton food that you want. Be put up in one of those, double-wide trailers, air-conditioned, the whole bit. And, hey, as we all know, there are semi-loads of cash that, drive by once in a while over there, and everybody reaches in and helps themselves and takes whatever they want. So maybe you can get in on that, too. And maybe your income would be tax-free as well. It might be a damn good job for somebody. In fact, I think I'll check into it myself. High-powered czar. And they're going to be over the military and civilian operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. You know, I always thought that's what the Secretary of Defense did. Wouldn't you know? The Bushies, they love that czar thing, don't they? I guess they kind of identify with that, don't you think? I'm pretty sure they identified with czar or dictator or whatever. But, yeah, they've had three retired four-star generals tell them thanks, but no thanks. They know Cheney's involved in this whole deal, and they don't want to get involved. They know that it's a losing proposition, and whoever takes that job is going to have a mess on their resume. But I don't know. I don't know where you apply for this job. I don't think it's down at the local employment office. Check it out. I'm sure you can apply someplace online. Turn in your resume, and no matter what your resume happens to say on it, I think you might be able to get this job. Good money, all those benefits I mentioned. Hey, we've got somebody on the line already. Let's do that. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy, how you doing?
Good.
What I'd like to say is this. Number one, speaking of Tsar, I wish the Tsar had never fallen from the throne in Russia.
Well,
that's the way I feel, okay?
Yeah.
And number two, as far as this Don Imus thing is concerned, I just think it's absolutely a tempest in a teapot. I like Don Imus. I don't like what he says sometimes. However,
tell me what you like about him.
I like the guy, but I like his shtick. I like his direct approach to things. And I like the fact that he's a human being. He's recovered or not from cocaine, alcohol. He helps people, kids with cancer. He built this huge thing for the people in Brooklyn Medical Center down there in Texas, the Fallen Heroes thing. He was one of the first people to go on there about Katrina and the horrible things that FEMA had not done. He's done a lot of good. I believe in looking at the whole man. I think 2 weeks is enough punishment for him, and I think, let's move on.
You don't think, first of all, I would agree with you if this was his first transgression.
Well, you know.
But it's one of many, many, many over the years.
If you're a Christian, it says forgive your neighbor 70 times.
Oh, you can forgive, but do you forget?
You have to.
You can't forget.
If you want to forget, if you don't want to forget, you can let it stay inside and eat you like acid. You know, that's the way I look at things. That's just my personal opinion. And there's one other thing I just want to share with you. You seem like a pretty fair guy. I've called you before, but I haven't called you in about a year now, okay? But you seem like you're a fair individual.
Try to be.
And I've been hearing a lot of things up over liberal stations and stuff that have attacked Christianity, which I really resent. And the thing I heard that really upset me the last time was that Adolf Hitler was a practicing Christian. And the other commenter said that, is it funny that Palm Sunday and April Fool's Day were the same day this year? To me, that kind of stuff hurts the liberal cause. It hurts the Democratic Party. And the people who say it, they ought to be censured just like Don Imus is. They cross the line too far.
Well, I certainly don't think people ought to go out of their way to disparage anybody's religion. I don't. And
you know, God, what's one man's faith may be another man's superstition.
Oh, that's just exactly
like what,
right.
Just like what may be one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. But you don't have to do like Bob Kincaid does and constantly berate religion.
Oh, I didn't know Bob did that.
Yes, he does. He does it on a constant basis every time he can.
Well, I berate some people involved in religion. Some of these people like Falwell and Robertson and Dobson.
No, I have no love for them.
And false prophets and charlatans and all that.
Exactly.
But no, I don't. I don't like to say anything against anybody's religion. I don't care if they have any religion. It doesn't matter to me.
Leave mine alone.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, because I'm not bothering yours. You know, I saw a very interesting film. It's a documentary. It's called Through the Eyes of Tammy Faye. Now, I realize that she and her husband practically started the Electric Church. But, you know, I think I have more respect for her than I do Falwell or Roberts or any of those other people. Because at least I think she's achieved a degree of honesty in admitting through this documentary what she says.
I always wondered if she knew what was going on with that.
I don't think she did. She was probably so zanked up on Ativan and stuff like that. And, of course, Jim Baker, who knows? She said that he was innocent. But Falwell, the way he treated that whole thing, you know, he was just an absolute shark in the water.
Oh, yeah.
And at least Tammy Faye Baker was the first Christian that I know of who publicly would embrace people with AIDS and things of that nature, which is in her favor. Whereas other Christians that thumbed their nose at her back in the 80s wouldn't have anything to do with them, condemned them, said they were going to hell, and they were getting the Fred Phelps treatment.
Is she still around?
I hope she is, because I tell you, I think she's a hoot, and I think she's, you know.
I always thought she was a hoot. I always thought I got a big bang out of her because, number one, maybe I shouldn't be that way, but I am. She thought she was a singer, and I always wondered why nobody ever told her that she couldn't sing a note, really. And she would sing and make records and all that.
Well, she made a joyful noise to the Lord. What can you say? You know,
yeah.
She tried. But, you know, this thing about attacking people's religion, this is not right. This is hurting the liberal cause. These people almost act as if they're in the pay of the religious right, as if to discredit through reverse psychology the attitude that people will have toward other individuals who are liberals and things. And it's gotten to the point, guy, I'm going to tell you, I'm not a liberal anymore. I don't know what I am. Maybe I'm a Christian socialist, but I'm not a liberal. And, you know, I've just become so disgusted and so thoroughly put out by some of the stuff that I've been hearing about religion and also this Don Imus thing. It has just really upset me because that's all these people talk about.
Well, if you owned a radio station and Imus had done this so a dozen times or so, would you keep him on?
Yes, I would. Absolutely.
Would you really?
Yes, I certainly would. I'll tell you one thing. I think that this, listen, the villain of the piece in a lot of this stuff is Bernard Begert, his executive producer. And he throws a lot of this stuff out. The main problem I have with Don Imus is the way he treats his sportscaster, the guy who's overweight, Chris Carlin, or whatever his name is.
I don't know. I don't watch
the show. I have emailed Don Imus before, and Don Imus threatened on the air to have Bo Deedle come down here and whip my ass. That's exactly what he said.
Mm.
But anyway, the man does do a lot of good, and I believe in being totally fair. He made a mistake. He shot his mouth off. He's going to pay for it. And, you know, when I look at some of the stuff that Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton have done, and some of their private lives and some of the stuff they said, I mean, let's be fair.
Well,
it's all about being fair. And, you know, basically, Don has pissed a lot of people off in the past, and now they all want a piece of his tail.
I don't know much about his. I know about his past. I don't listen to the show. I never have. I frankly have never.
But he's done a lot of good, guy.
I don't get it.
I mean, the ranch for the kids that can't with cancer. The Fallen Heroes Hospital that he was instrumental in getting millions of dollars there for. and the fact that he was one of the first people to go on there and talk about the horrors of Katrina and how these people were not being treated right. I heard these things. I heard them come out of his mouth.
Well, let me ask you.
I heard him let George Bush have it right between the eyes and to call Bush a criminal and everything like that, which I have never heard anybody do on public.
Do you not think he's a racist?
No, absolutely not.
You don't think a racist harbors those the kinds of things he says underneath and once in a while just lets them out?
No, I don't think so, because I'm from the South, and, you know, basically, there are a lot of things that I could let stick in my craw. I mean, you've heard the expression, you can take the boy out of the South, but not the South out of the boy.
I don't understand the South thing. I never did understand it. You know, I make people furious when I and the Civil War is still being fought in a lot of places.
It's stupid.
And I resent it for one. I mean I know people that drive around flying their Confederate flag, which is a symbol of hatred and it's treasonous in my opinion.
Those are rednecks, guys.
Well, they are, and I despise the Confederate flag. It's a symbol of hatred, and it's a symbol of racism. It's a symbol of traitors, in my opinion.
Well, you know, I had two ancestors, one of which was a general in the Confederate Army. Big deal. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what else can I say? But I want to say one other thing about this nappy whole thing. The first time I ever, before I started listening to some rap music and some of this stuff that came out of Death Row Records and Tupac Shakur and Dr. Dre and all those other people and 50 Cent, ho, ho, ho was something that Santa Claus said at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I first heard the expression ho.
Yeah.
And as far as nappy hair is concerned, I don't care what kind of person hair has. I mean, I've heard black people themselves constantly refer to their own nappy hair, and I've heard them, they're the ones who call each other terms like, you know, using the word nigger and ho,
mm-hmm,
instead of me.
Well,
I mean, that's where this stuff comes from, and, you know, nobody is boycott, you know, I think Bill Cosby was closer to it than anybody else, but, I mean, Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson aren't talking about boycotting some of these gangster rap artists and people like that who constantly espouse crack addiction, drug addiction, drive-by shootings, and calling women hoes and stuff like that. I mean, one of the first rappers was Tupac Shakur. He got nailed in a drive-by shooting in Los Angeles by drug lords.
Yeah, I really don't know anything about that rap scene. I hate it,
well,
as a matter of fact.
This is where these terms come from.
I know that's where they come from, but I won't defend Don Imus in using it. I think he used it in a disparaging manner. I think he knew fully what he was talking about, and I think he had to know that comment wasn't going to be funny to anybody.
Well, Bernard McGirt's the one who started it. There's Ben Rosenberg got in on it too.
Well, Rosenberg, and you'll have to admit that if Imus had any ethics about him, he wouldn't have Rosenberg on that program anymore.
Well, Rosenberg got popped for what? Smoking crack and stuff like that.
Well, some of the comments he's made, that to me shows me that Don Imus probably isn't worthy of being on the show anymore, because he has the ability to hire and fire people on that program. And Rosenberg is a man, he's made such despicable comments, and I understand he's been fired from the show two or three times, but why on earth would Don Imus have that Rosenberg back on the show? I mentioned yesterday one of the horrible comments he made last year about one of the Hollywood people. I can't believe anybody would say it, and yet Imus brought him back on the show, which shows me that he doesn't have very good judgment. Hey, gotta go. Thanks for your call, Jim. Good to hear from you. Let's go over here to line one. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, this is Kevin from Washington.
Hi, Kevin.
I want to respond back to that. First of all, as far as the Don Imus issue is concerned, it's a joke. For every minute we spend on Don Imus, it's a minute being taken away from the true criminals, the Karl Roves, the Bush crime family. And it's amazing how all these media networks are focusing on him minute by minute, 24/7. None of this coverage is ever being used for Alberto Gonzalez or any of these clowns.
Well, they know what sells, though.
Yeah. Second of all, as far as I'm concerned, if we held every so-called, because I would say Don Imus is in the middle, but leaning towards progressive, accountable for stupid things. Abraham Lincoln would have been out of a job. Teddy Roosevelt would have been out of a job. Franklin Roosevelt would be out of a job. Kennedy would have been out of a job. And even Jimmy Carter and Clinton would have been out of a job.
Because, once again, remind me why?
Because if they said something stupid and disparaging about black people, Lyndon Baines Johnson, probably one of the best presidents for the interests of African Americans, used to say the N-word all the time.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
So, you know, I'm neither here nor there. I say whatever happens to him happens. Let's focus.
Yeah, I agree that it's too big of a story. I do. And I don't know why it's become such a big story, but it has. And it hopefully it'll get played out here in the next few days.
Yeah. Second of all, about the religion issue and Bob Kincaid, this guy, him and Bob had a falling out. And I must say that, in all fairness to Mr. Kincaid, and maybe to him, Mr. Kincaid is a, I guess, recovering Baptist. And, you know, the whole, and I can respect that, you know.
Don't know. I've never asked him.
Yeah. Well, he said it on the show.
Oh.
He has acknowledged it. And, you know, it's all right for him not to believe in God and all that. Just like this guy has the right to believe in God.
You know, I will say something that I told my wife the other night. If I were, man, I'm getting a lot of interference on the phone line. If I were ever emperor, I would absolutely forbid religion to be discussed in public. It's caused more problems with people condemning one another, and my religion is good as yours bad, and you know, I that's something that I can honestly say when I talk to somebody or know somebody, I never ask them. I don't care. I don't care if they're an atheist. I don't believe if they're a Bible-thumping Baptist. I just don't care.
Yeah, well, the thing is, me personally, I think it should be kept personal, like your finances and your sex life.
That's right.
Kept personal.
That's right. Hey, I better move on. I'm getting a lot of interference on this line, and thanks for your call. And let's go over here to line two. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Oh, hello, Guy. It's Teresa calling from Canada.
Hi, Teresa.
I'm just going to chime in on the Don Imus thing. I agree it's getting way too much coverage in the press.
Well, it's starting to approach the Anna Nicole, Nicole Smith thing, although albeit a bit more serious subject.
Well, they're fighting each other out now because the paternity tests have come in for Anna Nicole Smith's kids. So between the two of them, like any real news is.
Yeah, so off. Maybe that story will finally go away. Thank God.
Yeah. But the thing with Don Imus, I do agree they're over covering it. But the bottom line is he did say it. And people who they apologize and say, oh, I was just joking. Well, words like that just don't flow easily off the tongue if it's not in your mind.
How many times do you get away with that? You know, how many...
I would never think of saying that to someone. Like, it has to be in you for it to come out.
It's in there. And if you made one comment like that, I think I might say, okay. But there's a history of it there.
Mm.
And, you know, if I owned... if I owned the syndicate, if I owned it, I'd fire him in a minute. I mean, I have to tell you, I would. And if I had said that and I was on FCC-controlled airways, I would expect to be fired.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I mean, of course, there's worse offenders than him.
Oh, sure.
Rush Limbaugh being obvious.
Sure, Limbaugh's made any number of racist comments, but, you know, money drives the thing. Let's be honest, everybody. And if enough of Imus's advertisers go away and boycott him, and then he's done. That's what's going to determine whether he stays or not. Not his ethics, not what he says.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, with this so-called 2-week suspension, I think that would put him back on the air for like the spring ratings sweep. But man, like if
never did hear if he's getting docked to 2 weeks pay or not.
Well, he probably makes millions a year.
Oh, sure, he does.
Who knows?
He does.
I'm sure that's in the contract.
He's into the big money.
But, like, you know, he's done good works before for other people, but that doesn't, that, you know, that'd be like me going to McDonald's and ordering a Big Mac and a Diet Coke. They don't cancel each other out.
Well, no, and, you know, John Wayne Gacy was treated a lot of little kids really nice being a clown.
Yeah.
So, you know.
The community.
Your good works don't necessarily cancel out, in my opinion, your good works do not cancel out abhorrent behavior.
Not at all.
Hey, thanks for your call, Teresa.
Yeah,
good to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Well, here we go, talking about Don Imus again. I hadn't planned on that very much today, but let's hope that story gets over with soon. Personally, you want, and I'll just finish up on this from my end anyway. I think it has gotten too much coverage. I can't for the life of me understand why the Rutgers basketball team would want to meet with Don Imus. I don't get that at all. I would tell him to go to hell. That's what kind of person I am. I forgive you, but don't you bother me anymore, and I will not forget. I do believe in forgiving but not forgetting, because in so many cases, you forgive and they'll run right over you again. So you should always be mindful of what you're dealing with. So, hey, let's go. Let's head on over to the phone here again. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. Hello? Well, I guess that one will have to call back. Something happened there. Anyway, I think we're going to pause for a break right now. And we'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Would you know me?
the chicks, everybody knows. I love the chicks. I do. I'm not the country music fan I used to be. It never was the number one type of music. I like many, many, many kinds of music. And a little bit of a musician myself, but I like lots of different kinds of music. Very eclectic when it comes to that. But there's something about the chicks. I just love them, and they're my airplane music. Whenever I fly any place, I've got my iPod, and I've got a lot of, you know, I got anything from Gregorian chants to El Devo to John Denver, you name it on there. But for some reason, when I get in a plane, I put on a couple of the Chicks albums there and listen to them, and I just, I love it. Don't know why, but I do. 866-546-5254. I'm not drunk, honestly. You can give us a call here. We'd love to hear from you. How'd you like to be over in Iraq right now? And let's back up just a little bit as far as Iraq is concerned. Didn't we hear constantly, and I do mean constantly, like they're using the word micromanage now. They've passed that around. That's their little talking points. Back when this surge started, and we start saying it was an escalation, Oh, no, it's not an escalation. No. These are reinforcements. Remember that? Reinforcements, not an escalation. Reinforcements. Well, where the hell are those reinforcements coming from? They're not coming from here. No, everybody's just going to get to stay a little longer. How would you like to be over there on your second or third tour, and you're there for 12 months, and they come along and say, guess what? You're going to get to stay an extra 3. Everybody. We're not singling anybody out. Everybody is going to get to stay another 3 months. Oh, joy. You talk about troop morale. They have the guts to go around and talk about troop morale. Oh, my God. How much worse could you treat American military personnel? How much worse could it be for them than it's been during this Bush administration? Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. That's the second time that's happened. Don't know what happened there. I know we don't have any trouble with our phone board. Whoever that was, give us a call again. We'll give it a try. We got a couple lines open, 866-546-5254. But as I was saying, you're over in Iraq, and you're looking to get home and see the wife and family and children and your loved ones. You've been shot at and how many times, and you've lived in squalid, miserable conditions. And you've been promised by your government that you're going to go over there on a 12-month tour, and this is your second or third one. And you know what? You're going to get to stay an extra 3 months, everybody. It's been brutal for the folks over there. Been absolutely brutal. Wanted to talk a little bit about Republicans today. I think things are really tough, and as I've mentioned, in the recent past, anyway, they don't like to identify themselves as Republicans very much anymore. Have you noticed that? We're conservatives. All the Limbaughs and the Gingriches and those kind of people are saying, you know, we're conservatives. We don't agree with what those Republicans are doing. We don't agree with them at all. They're not conservative enough. We are the real meat of the party. We are the conservatives. And you hear Hannity even. People that, spouted Republican propaganda, RNC propaganda all the time, they're still spewing RNC propaganda. They just don't use Republican. We're conservatives now. We are conservatives now. But things are really rough for the Republicans right now, and when that happens, they always do the same thing. They always reach into the past and pull out, Joe McCarthy's ghost, like Ann Coulter does, you know, the glory days before the Enlightenment. And most recently, that bloviating pig Newt Gingrich for a vision of the future. They're desperately right now looking for a life raft to climb onto. And I bet you the old Ouija board has been broken out at both the RNC headquarters and in the middle of a large pentagram in Grover Norquist's office as these neo-fascists are desperately trying to conjure up some of that old black magic that allowed their one true God, the ultimate con artist and right-wing crackpot, Ronald Wilson Reagan, to launch a relentless war against the middle class and actually against democracy itself, that until only months ago was on the brink of total victory, and they were oh so close. They were on the brink, on the edge of total victory over a broken enemy, the Democrats and the American people. I always considered Grover Norquist as kind of the Albert Speer of the neocon movement, and he once said, and I'll paraphrase it, but I know I've got it close because I always remember what Grover Norquist says. He said it's not good enough to win. It has to be a painful and devastating defeat. We're sending a message here. It's like when the king would take his opponent's head and spike it on a pole for everybody to see. That's the way the Reaganites, the Norquist, the Newt Gingriches, the Tom DeLays, that's the way these people see politics. Now, as the investigations are piling up nearly as fast as the neglected disabled war veterans that were forced to live in squalor at Walter Reed Hospital, and now that the first subpoenas are ready to fly, the big question being asked in Republican neocon circles is, what would St. Ronnie do? And they long for the Republican candidate to reclaim the Reagan legacy. They like to call it the Reagan legacy. And in a great example of true American willful ignorance, they never addressed the real problem, which was the Reaganism itself. It's the ideology, stupid. They just can't seem to grasp the fact that their radical conservatism is, was, and always will be a failure. And yet here they are, once again, desperately trying to revive it once again to try and bring back the ghost of Ronnie Reagan. Can some more Salem witch trials or an American Inquisition be very far behind? You know, Ronnie Reagan, he was such a good guy. Let him eat cheese. You remember the debacle with that government cheese? I'm going to be the compassionate conservative. I'm going to pass out cheese to the poor people. Cheese. That was Ronnie Reagan's idea of a good government, is to pass out cheese. Oh, but guy, he brought down the Soviet Union, the evil empire. Ronnie Reagan brought it down. You know, the toppling of the USSR and St. Ronnie Reagan getting credit for it's like the adage about Paul Revere's horse. The horse did all the work and the guy riding it got all the credit. Reagan's absolute for 30 years before he ever got to be president, he had this messianic anti-communism thing that really made him popular with everybody. He was one of those guys that there was a commie behind every tree. Oh my God, look out, the commies are coming. Somebody want to tell me once again, what did the commies do to us to really harm us? What kind of a threat were they to us that they ever fulfilled? You know, they had this anti-communistic roots in some sort of a festering, deep-seated contempt for human equality among the elite that it had as much to do with this falsehood as anything that Reagan himself really did about bringing down the USSR. What a joke. The idle rich, the industrialist, Wall Street. They were looking for a champion, and in Ronnie Reagan, they found one, and they crowned him for his effort. Oh, did they ever. The hatred of having to share the wealth contributed to the wars at home against the unions, our labor, and the middle class, as well as a series of and think back upon it, brutal U.S.-backed extreme right-wing regimes putting down so-called leftist movements in Central America. And when you stop and take a look at the whole situation during that Reagan era, that pitiful Ronald Reagan era, the horrors of the torture states and the blood-soaked counterinsurgency sponsored by covert CIA operatives and cowboys like Olive North are an ugly, ugly blight upon our history that will never, ever be removed. And don't you think a lot of small countries around this world will ever forget it, because they will not. And it's astonishing to me that some of these people look back at this Reagan era as a great time in our history. That, you know, the Reagan era also institutionalized this freewheeling style of screw you, anything goes vulture capitalism that's gutted today's economy. That's where it started. They destroyed our manufacturing capability. They've wrecked the regulatory agencies that were created to keep corporations and Wall Street looters at least somewhat honest and keep the environmentalists somewhat clean. All of that seriously undermined the public education system. It crippled organized labor and made the corporate bottom line the nation's economic religion. That's exactly what their religion became. CEOs became folk heroes, and the poor were shamed into blaming themselves. And you know how Ronald Reagan loved to blame government for all the social ills. No matter what it was, Ronald Reagan blamed the government for it. He used to, you know, and he was a charming individual. And he'd get before a crowd and he would use that little Ronnie Reagan thing on them and just be so damn charming and convincing to the people. He was an actor after all, albeit a very poor actor. He was an actor. But he often invoked the crowd pleaser that he liked to use, that the nine most, you remember that? The nine most terrifying words in English language were, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help." There's one thing that all of us should never forget. When these people talk about smaller government and how they hate government and how Grover Norquist wanted to drown government in a bathtub, get it small enough to where he could drown it in the bathtub. Truthfully, Reagan and Norquist and these so-called conservatives love government. They love it. As long as it's the government that works to further their own self-interest and keep the little people in its place. They hate what government does for others, but they want it to do for them. And that Reagan-style government, it consisted of a huge, growing military machine and this surveillance industrial complex that we're living with right now. And agencies that give taxpayer money to radical religious groups. Corporate welfare. Talk about welfare, they never like to mention the corporate welfare. Corporate welfare is where most of the money for welfare in this country goes. And guess who benefits from that? And the other ones, the people that needed to get cheese. But Reagan-style conservatism, you know, they want to invade citizens' homes. They want to regulate what they do in the privacy of their bedrooms. Meddle in the education of their children. They've deliberately undermined the public educational system. They promote an oppressive state-favored religion that's been hijacked by fanatics. They aim to destroy social programs like Medicare and Medicaid, and, of course, the crown jewel of leveling the playing field, in their opinion. They want to get rid of Social Security. That's what they're after. And along comes Reagan, and he was very successful. He duped the people. He talked a lot of people into voting him for him. The Reagan Democrats convinced them that big government was the problem. You know, the unspoken part of all that was that only those governmental agencies that served the people and held industry accountable and protected the rights of the American worker were truly evil. Make no mistake, Ronnie Reagan would be proud of Junior Bush and his fanatical followers. They're probably not conservative enough for St. Ronnie. But the same greedy bastards that followed Reagan's insane philosophy are the same people who put Bush in office, and don't forget that. That's what they're after. I cringe. I absolutely cringe at the thought of allowing people like that to take over and run the government of the United States. And like I mentioned just a little bit earlier, they were oh so close to a complete victory until this last election. And I'm not saying the Democrats are getting the job done that I wanted them to do. Some of them are making at least a little bit of an attempt. But thank God, these radical conservatives' momentum was at least slowed down for a while. They're not going to give up. They didn't take that defeat lightly, and they're working really, really diligently right now to get back into the majority. Let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. Well, that's the third time that's happened. Do not know what's happening there. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. Don't let that stop you from calling. Do try again. I'm looking to see if we got all the settings right on the phone system here. We do. Don't know exactly what the problem is. Anyway, we're going to pause for a short break, and we'll be back in a minute. Don't go away.
Bye.
Back with you here this afternoon. Love that tune. Thanks to Billy Shears, music director here at the Guy James Show. Always provides good music, sets it up every day, and we appreciate it very much. And I hear from a good many of you that you like the music as well. So thank you to Billy Shears, music director here at the Guy James Show. Let's go back to the phones right now. And by the way, they are working okay, so you can give us a call. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. Well, I spoke too soon, didn't I? Don't know what the problem is with that. I called with my cell phone, called my studio line with the cell phone, and everything worked fine. I don't know what's happening here. Maybe we're getting the bugaboos from people today. Who knows? Give us a call back if that was you on the line. I'm sure some of you will call back. Had somebody on the line there that wanted to talk about the Ronnie Reagan situation. I get so tired of hearing that. And I think it probably what brought it on today is here they are in Florida trying to name some more stuff for Ronnie Reagan. It just, frankly, pisses me off. It really does. They don't have enough things. And what brought that on? I was the Florida legislature tried to get the University of Florida here a while back. The University of Florida voted to deny Jeb Bush an honorary degree. And it had to go up before the Faculty Senate. And they voted 38-28 to reject Jebby Bush's nomination. And the reason they did, because they talked about some of his educational initiatives that weren't worth a damn. And he dismantled affirmative action programs in the state. He's got that damn FCAT thing. It's a disaster. And so the faculty said, no, we're not going to give him an honorary degree. Well, the Florida legislature, now since it's a state institution, is forcing the University of Florida to rename its educational school the Jeb Bush College of Education. Been forced to do that. And they hooked that up with renaming some other things around the state in honor of St. Ronald of Reagan. Man, does that irritate me. Let's go with the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. Well, I declare. I do not know what's happening with the phones here today. We're going to take a break and track this down and see what the heck is wrong with that today. And we'll be back with you in just a couple minutes. Don't go away.
Genie, and all I ask for is start dreaming. Oh, God, tell me some more. You don't have to go. You're the poetry mind. Make things alright.
Yeah. I'm just starting to get the feel of this. Step up and give us some harmonica, man.
All righty. Hey, we've checked everything out. And I guess if there's a problem, I don't know where it might be. But seems to be okay right here, right now. Let's just see here. Always something, huh? We're just got about 2 minutes until the top of the hour here. We'll let the machine pick up here and we'll go. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy, this is Ray.
Hi, Ray.
Hey, I just was checking to see if you could hear me now.
Yes, certainly can.
Okay, now I called you on the DC line this time.
Okay.
So I'm thinking it may be something, a problem with the 800 number.
Okay, well, I suppose that's
possible. Not routing to your local number.
Don't know.
Your line. Okay,
hey,
anyway.
Thanks, Ray.
I'll tell you that. Also, I wanted to say that Ronald Wilson Reagan, if you unscramble the letters, spells out insane Anglo warlord.
Well,
thought I'd pass that on to you.
Thank you, Ray.
Bye now.
And let's go over here to line 3. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. Hello. I think you might be right. It might be the 800 number today. Evidently, whoever's on that line can hear me, and I can't hear them. Don't know what's happening with that. We'll try and reset that during the news at the top of the hour and see if we can get that going okay. I did see where Vonage is suing. Well, they're being sued by Verizon. So they're checking out, I guess, infringed upon their patent somehow. So we'll have to see what happens there. Hey, we're going to pause for news at the top of the hour, and we'll be back in just a moment.
This is the Quality News Network. The U.S. military says they have proof Iran has been training Iraqi insurgents in the assembly of roadside bombs. According to detainees' debriefs, Iran has been manufacturing and smuggling as well as training Iraqi insurgents in the use of a type of roadside bomb which is capable of piercing armored vehicles. A key suspect, along with 5 others, has been arrested by coalition troops in Baghdad. The main suspect, only identified as a security emir, is a top militant leader and believed to be responsible for the involvement in planning insurgent attacks. The arrest was a result of a 5-day operation targeting bombing networks. Bombs have been detonated in Algiers, killing at least 23 people and wounding 162. Al Jazeera Television has reported an Islamist group associated with Al-Qaeda is responsible. It is the first such attack for the North African city since the 1990s. North Korea says it won't be able to shut down its main nuclear reactor as promised on Saturday. Both the U.S. and South Korea are questioning the delay, saying there is no reason not to shut down the nuclear reactor now. In fierce fighting around Baghdad, at least 20 extremists were killed in a district known to be a Sunni insurgent stronghold. 4 Iraqi soldiers were also killed and 16 U.S. soldiers were wounded. Misleading military statements will be the subject of the next hearing to go before a U.S. House committee. Later this month, Congress is expected to address the death of Army Ranger Pat Tillman and the rescue of Army soldier Jessica Lynch. On Capitol Hill, Democrats have subpoenaed Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez for additional Justice Department documents a week before he's scheduled to testify about the firing of eight U.S. attorneys. Gonzalez has until Monday to deliver the requested paperwork. In Durham, North Carolina, the state attorney general is expecting to drop the kidnapping and rape charges against the Duke lacrosse players. The case has been controversial and has now led to District Attorney Mike Nifong facing charges of unethical conduct. Possible Republican presidential candidate and former Tennessee Senator Fred Thompson has been diagnosed with a treatable form of lymphoma. The politician/actor said he is still taking steps towards a possible entrance into the presidential race. President Bush has invited Democrats to the White House to talk about war appropriations, though he reiterated his promise to veto any bill that contains a timetable for a troop withdrawal in Iraq. An Argentine naval icebreaker caught fire in the South Atlantic off the coast of Patagonia. The accident occurred approximately 930 miles south of Argentina in frigid waters.
Heads up, crew. This is Captain Mike from Bombardier's Lounge, World War II Big Band Jazz. I've got a book for all of you crew members interested in World War II in the air. Its title is Letters Home, Memoirs of a World War II Troop Carrier Pilot by Frank G. Hathaway. Hathaway's book is dedicated to the air crewmen who lost their lives in the Southwest Pacific, 1942 to 1946, while flying their unarmed C-46s and C-47s over the jungles, the ocean and mountains in New Guinea and the Philippines. In his book, Frank talks in his letters home about his experiences flying as a pilot with the 6th Troop Carrier Squadron, the first squadron of troop carrier planes in the Southwest Pacific. This is a book you're really going to enjoy having in your library. It's available at Amazon.com. Get this book. Ask for it by name. Letters Home by Frank G. Hathaway, published by Trafford Publishing. That's an order.
NASA has postponed the launch of the Space Shuttle Atlantis until June. Scientists are continuing repairs on the ship, which was damaged by hail during its last trip to the International Space Station. Home prices are expected to drop this year, according to the National Association of Realtors. In the latest monthly forecast, the realtors say there will be a 0.7% decline in the median price of existing homes instead of the 1.2% increase previously predicted. Analysts say problems in the subprime mortgage market are to blame. Sallie Mae has agreed to alter its business practices and pay $2 million into a fund to educate borrowers about the financial aid industry. This as a part of a settlement deal after investigations into the student lending business revealed unethical practices being employed by lenders and schools. Consumer confidence has plummeted to an 18-month low in April. Analysts cite high fuel prices, the threat of inflation, and concerns about a possible recession. Citigroup says it will eliminate 17,000 jobs this year, 5% of its workforce. The move is part of a cost-cutting regime at the nation's largest financial institution. The job cuts could save Citigroup more than $2 billion this year. And WD-40 posted a robust profit, helped by increased sales overseas, particularly in China. The company is expanding to include household cleaning goods. Light sweet crude is trading at $62.03 a barrel, and on Wall Street, the Dow Jones is down 81 points, the NASDAQ is down 15 points, and the S&P 500 is down 7 points. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Jay Gallet.
Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. 6... 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. The world is- Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us here this afternoon on the Guy James Show. We got another, 53 minutes of the program. We welcome you to call. I understand we're having a routing issue with the Vonage phone system. Not our problem here. They've got a problem with their 800 numbers right now. So you can call us on our... you can call us on our Washington, D.C. number, 202-370-6153. Or our Phoenix number, 623-444-5252. Got that? 202-370-6153 or 623-444-5252. Give those lines a try there and see what's happening. The Vonage is having a problem at the moment, we found out during the break, and nothing we've got going on here. So at least that's a relief. How you doing today? You keeping up with all the news? Now we know that little Danny Lynn has a father. the big news. We know that Don Imus won't be talking on the radio for a couple of weeks starting Monday. We don't know if he'll get fired or not. We know that all the troops, every last one of them in Iraq, is going to get an extra 3 months tacked on to their tours of duty over there. And I'm sure a lot of them aren't very happy about that. We also found out today, just as George Bush got caught in this one time, that Republican presidential candidate Rudy Giuliani hasn't done a lot of grocery shopping lately. He was asked while he was campaigning in Alabama yesterday. He's talking about how he's a conservative and blah, 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 blah. And they ask him about some things that, you know, average people care about. What's the price of bread, and what's the price of milk? And he says a gallon of milk is probably about $1.50. Hadn't been $1.50 for what, 30 years? Maybe 20 years. A loaf of bread, he says, about $1.25. And it turns out that if you went to Augustino Supermarket in Manhattan's Upper East Side, and that's not the most expensive place, a gallon of milk was $4.19, and a loaf of white bread was anywhere from $2.99 to $3.39. Keep in mind, that is New York City. But in Montgomery, Alabama, where he was being asked about it, a gallon of milk goes for $3.39, and bread's about $2. So it appears that old Rudy, besides all of the other problems that he has, doesn't know a whole lot about average Joe. Seems that Rudy hasn't been an average Joe for a long, long time. Evidently has forgot all about being an average Joe, or in his case, an average Rudy. And this bulletin in, a tragic flood this morning destroyed the personal library of President George W. Bush. The flood began in the bathroom where both books were kept. Both the books are now lost, and a White House spokesman said the president was devastated as he almost finished coloring the second one. The White House tried to call FEMA, but there was no answer. I also wanted to report to you today that all this crap that we heard about Nancy Pelosi going over and meeting with Assad, didn't the White House and didn't the Republicans just go absolutely nuts over that issue? Oh, they spun that every which way possible, and they said that she had no right to go and talk to Assad and give a message from Omer, because that's not what Omer said, and she screwed it up, and it was bad for America, blah, 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 blah. There can't be anybody in the United States Congress any more pro-Israel than Tom Lantos. He was with her, and he's now suggests that there was pressure from the White House. He said it's obvious the White House is desperate to find some phony criticism of the speaker's trip, even though it was a bipartisan trip, said Lantos, a Holocaust survivor who is considered the Democrat closest to the pro-Israel lobby.
He said, I have nothing but contempt and disdain for the attempt to undermine this trip. The White House had no comment on the allegations by Lantos that it pressured Omer to offer a clarification, in other words, change his story. Such backdoor statecraft between the White House and Omer would not be unprecedented. Last year, man, this is quite a story. Last year, U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice talked Omer into a 48-hour ceasefire during the war with Hezbollah to allow humanitarian relief. But within hours, Israeli planes were bombing again, to Rice's surprise and anger. Well, it seems that Omer had received a call, apparently from Vice President Cheney's office, telling Omer to ignore Rice. So we know just, hey, we know what we can believe out of the White House anyway, right? I think we know that. And we also have found out that this group that has been smearing Pelosi, aside from the White House, there's a group running an ad campaign attacking Speaker Pelosi for her visit to Syria. It was headed until January, this group was, by none other than Sam Fox, the Swift Boat Vets funder whom President Bush recently appointed as ambassador to Belgium. Fox, as you know, gave $50,000 to the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth, which smeared John Kerry's military service and claimed his combat medals were undeserved. Fox also served as national chairman of the Republican Jewish Coalition, the RJC, for 6 years, and that is the group that is smearing Nancy Pelosi now. So there's always a Republican thug in the background somewhere. Always somewhere. Things are still a little bit quiet in Washington this week, with Congress still not getting back into the investigations in a big manner as of yet. That'll begin again next Monday. Tuesday, I think, is the day that Alberto Gonzalez is going to testify in front of the Intelligence Committee. I'm looking forward to that, and I know many of you are as well. So, you know, here we are with the Democrats involved in the ultimate game of chicken with Junior Bush with this funding bill. And who's going to win? Who do you think will win? Well, I think it all depends upon who is willing to go, as they say in a gambler, I'm not a big gambler, but go all in with their chips in this high-stakes poker game, and that's exactly what it is. Who's going to gamble the political farm on this issue? I got Bush, who's a lame duck. He really has the advantage if he can keep the Republican members of the House and the Senate united against the Democrats, and there's starting to be some cracks in that wall. But Bush himself doesn't have to run for re-election, so he can do whatever the hell he wants without fear of suffering politically. After all, how much farther down can he go? His legacy's already shot to hell, and he's got nothing to lose by continuing on with this crazy policy of his on the war. But, and it's the big but in this whole thing, the Republican Party has got a lot to lose. If this thing continues to spin out of control or doesn't show any big improvements over the next couple of months, then the Republicans are going to have to make a tough decision. They're going to have to decide whether they're going to continue their crazy blind loyalty to Junior Bush or cut bait and start fishing in different waters. And do remember, there are 21 Republican senators up for re-election, and they can't afford to lose very many more seats. For if they do, it's pretty doggone likely they'll stay in a minority for many years to come. And they're already finding out just how damn tough it is to be in the minority. They're not liking it very much, although they still have been able to cause considerable trouble for the Democrats. So if Junior Bush doesn't get the bill he wants, there's not going to be any money for the troops in a short while. He won't be able to keep the troops in Iraq without any money. So in theory, anyway, if the Democrats in Congress hold the line, if they hold the line, and that's a huge if, will they cave? Mr. Master of Disaster can't win this fight. He has a choice between accepting the law, which states that he'll have to withdraw the troops by next September, or vetoing the money for the troops that are there right now. And time, as far as I'm concerned, is on the side of the Democrats, and I hope they keep that in mind. But here's the tough part. Will the Democrats have the political courage to stay the course and force Junior Bush's hand on this? Will they force this constitutional crisis? That's the real question. Junior Bush has got a choice between having his funding run out or accepting a timeline for withdrawal. That's the choice he has right now. But I believe Junior Bush thinks he's got one thing that could change the course of the Congress, and that's the American public opinion. I don't think there's any doubt that the vast majority of people want to support the troops. I think we all know that. But the question is, what kind of support do they mean? I think most of the polls now show that the majority of people believe that getting the troops home as soon as possible is the way that we should support the troops. And others believe that sending them billions of dollars worth of equipment and munitions and such is supporting them. Make no mistake, Junior Bush is willing to throw in all of his chips because he honestly believes the group who support throwing more lives and money at the problems will back him no matter what, and that they'll force Congress to change their minds about this bill. If the Democrats stick together for a change, and that's the big question, but if they do stick together and they fail, they fail to create a new bill that George W. Bush will sign, then how will the American public look at this standoff between these two branches of government? I'm pretty sure that both sides have got pollsters furiously working out right now trying to find out just how the public will look at it. And I think the opinion of the American people will definitely determine the outcome of this battle. But the fact is that the Democrats truly have time on their side. And in my opinion, that's a very good thing. I think they're holding the Trump cards in this. I think if the Democrats only show some courage, that they will find that the American people will back them with the kind of bill they want to put through. Maybe not the one with the pork in it. Maybe they'll have to leave the pork off. But it certainly would be refreshing to see them hold their ground on this. It most certainly would. Well, I think someone's calling on the 800 number. Let's try this again here. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Is this the real Guy James?
It's the real one. It's the real one.
Eric from Vermont. How are you doing, Guy?
Hi, Eric.
Had a little problem with the phone calls earlier here.
Yeah, and you're in on the 866 number, so who knows?
Yeah, it's working. It's working.
Gremlins.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I'm just going to brush through here real kind of quick. And basically, I'd like to give you a preview for the little Rutland County in Vermont, the bastion of neoconservative thought in Vermont, except for some isolated areas. And that's where I live. It's hell up here. But it is changing. It is changing up here. I mean, I've had negative and pluses, and I'm quite aggressive and quite assertive in confronting people on issues regarding health care, regarding Iraq, and regarding the Pledge of Allegiance to the dictator in control at the 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and so on and so forth. And it is changing. It's changing slow, and it's batting my head against the wall, but it is changing. Did you have a chance to look at the Brigham Young protest?
Oh yeah.
I mean, it was quite definitive in terms of one of the spokespersons of the Brigham Young student group, a 22-year-old Republican from Salt Lake City, says the problem is this is a morally dubious man. And he's talking in reference to Vice President Cheney in terms of the meeting that they're supposed to have there with him as a speaker. What do you think about that, guy?
I'll tell you what, for a Republican, a self-identified Republican, young Republican in Salt Lake City, to say that about Dick Cheney is absolutely remarkable. I really think it is. I mean, that's deep red right there.
Do you think I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of only two or three states that that he still has got a majority of the people think he's okay.
Do you think that there is some sort of change in, like, a lot of the public nationally? I mean, because, I mean, even in Vermont, this little dinky state up in New England, I mean, there are little pockets here and there. I happen to be in a very neoconservative type of pocket where IMUS in the morning I have to listen to for 2 hours in the morning. Mm. Don't want to get an IMUS. Leave it alone. But I have to listen to it, and it's racist. It's whatever it is, but they listen to it because they don't have any sort of, like, programming in terms of real mainstream media, objective mainstream media that could go on. I mean, this is like going across the nation. But this is Vermont, which on the internet gets, like, really rave views for being very liberal. And there are pockets in here, and they're really, really terrible to deal with on a day-to-day basis.
Well, I hope people don't get the false hopes. Yes, I think you're absolutely right, and I see it amongst some people I know that they've backed away from George Bush, but they're not gonna do like the Reagan Democrats did and go away and join the Democrats and change from being Republicans and vote for a Democratic candidate. They're just going to wait and see another Republican candidate come along. I think so many of them are so jaded and so brainwashed into believing the likes of the Grover Norquist and the Ronald Reagan type of thinking that I don't think that they can be changed. I hope I'm wrong about that, but I guess it's the independents that we're all going after right now.
I think so too, and I still am I'm independent, but I vote straight Dem right now because I just want to see balance of power. I like the checks and balances. I like the Constitution the way it is. I didn't like the sort of like junking of habeas corpus and basically taking the Second Amendment away for all those people that are on the right side. Basically, they have to understand that habeas corpus getting junked pretty much depreciated the Second Amendment too, and they can come in their house, take their guns, and send them off to get them anytime they want to, just in case they want to know. I'm just really curious as to what your perspective is. Do you see a change in the way the American people are viewing the mainstream media in terms of giving them any sort of objectivity in terms of facts?
No, I don't. I don't see a change. I continue to see, it's just like, we're talking about the IMA story today. I talked about this Anna Nicole Smith thing. The media is still able to lead the public in whatever direction they want. And I can't see any change. I can't see any change for the better. As far as the left gaining any ground, I would like to see it be even. I don't want to be in a country where the left controls all of the media. I would like to see it 50-50 on the radio, but honestly, I think we've lost ground in the last year, on the radio anyway, and maybe TV with Keith Olbermann, maybe we've gained a little bit there, and I see Joe Scarborough now and then is not quite as tilted to the right as he was, but basically, do I see it changing in any respect as far as giving the left a break and balancing out? No, I really don't.
So do you think the bottom line is still the corporate media controlled by General Electric? Beware of the military-industrial war complex with a great Republican president of the 50s by the name of Dwight David Eisenhower, who also was the commander of our success in Europe during World War II against the Nazis. I mean, we don't like Nazis, right? I mean, we don't want to see Nazism or some sort of fascism type of related corporatism like maybe Mussolini or something like that within the context of the United States, just because the American people are so blind to question even the mainstream media that are so controlled by these corporate interests.
Oh, it's the big money. The big money controlling the media, and I don't know. I don't know how we're ever going to be able to catch up. You know, when the Fairness Doctrine was trashed, that was pretty much the end of that, and that signaled the rise of corporate media, the big corporate people taking over everything. You know, look what Clear Channel's done. Like you said, General Electric. I almost said General Motors.
That's another problem, too. But
yeah, you have to wonder where this is all going to end. You know, as I mentioned yesterday, we talked about the money in politics right now. And as long as the money is so pervasive on the political scene, I think that the people are going to have less and less of a voice. And, you know, that's part of what this show is about, to try and give the little people a voice at least. But I don't have a lot of hope. I really don't. I hate to be maudlin about the whole thing, but I don't see the media changing for the better, and I had hoped that the people would have the good sense to kind of force the media to do a better job, but they're not.
But they're not going to know that the media isn't doing a good job unless they get on the internets to find out what a bad job they're really doing.
Oh,
that is
yeah.
a big part of the problem. I mean, for my goodness gracious, I mean, you're sitting on there and you say maudlin about this and so on and so forth, but you're still out there trying. You're still doing your job.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, we're giving it our best shot anyway.
you do a great job, Guy.
Hey, good to hear from you.
It's always good to listen to your show.
Thanks very much. Talk to you again soon.
Bye-bye.
I had hoped when we started this show some 4 years and, 4 years and 5 months ago, that by now this program and many others from the left, and not many others, but some others from the left, I would have thought that by now, there would have been more inroads. I had all the hopes that there would be more inroads by the left into the radio, for example. That's the medium that I work in. I've done radio for a good many years. Didn't start radio by doing this program. I did radio for, coming up on 30 years, I guess. But I'd hope by now that we would have been able to somehow even the score a little bit. Instead of it being 99-1, I thought we might have gotten it down to 70-30 by now or whatever. But we have not. We haven't come close to having it to be 70-30. You know, there was all this talk and publicity when Air America came along. They really haven't made any inroads into it either. So I don't know what the future is going to bring. I just know that I'm not terribly encouraged by it. I think that we here on the Head On Radio Network are on the cutting edge of things. I think we're looking at the new technology, the internet. Now, just today, I was looking at some new standalone internet radios that show great promise, and that'll give more people a chance to listen. Besides having to sit beside their computer, there are many venues to be able to do that, and people can even listen in their cars now to internet radio. If they've got one of the satellite cards like Verizon and some of the others put out now. But I am disappointed. And I'd be lying if I said I wasn't disappointed. I had really thought by now that, as I mentioned earlier, we would have made bigger inroads into the advantage that the right has. And I don't think we've made any inroads at all. There are a couple of people on the left that have a fairly significant audience. Schultz supposedly has got the biggest audience, and when you compare his to even the lesser of those on the right, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. So are we gaining? Are we doing the right thing? Are we, I don't know. I guess that's for somebody else to decide, but God knows I've certainly given it enough thought for many an hour. What can we do on the left to even, like I always said, begin to balance out the playing field just a little bit? We shall see. Going to pause for a break. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
waited so long. When somebody hears, listen to the fear, it's gone. Strangled by the wishes of Peter, hoping for the arms of Peter. Get to me the sooner or later.
Listen to the Guy James Show here in the Head On Radio Network. Happy to have each and every one of you with us this afternoon. Want to say a special hello to all the folks over Democratic Underground and to the folks listening through iTunes right now, an important part of our audience, and we're glad to have all of you along with us as well. And the folks over at Democrats.com and SmirkingChimp.com. We got listeners from so many places around the internet, and it's comforting to know that you're there. And also to our listeners in other countries. We regularly get email from folks in South Korea and the Philippines and Australia and England and France and Switzerland and where else here? Finland. Oh, yes, we got our friends in Finland. I wish more of those folks would call sometimes. We enjoy hearing from them as well. You know, they're still steaming over there in Great Britain over the, I guess I laugh, but it's not funny, this big deal of the Iranians having captured, not kidnapped, captured some of the British soldiers. And I think now it's fairly clear that they weren't exactly in Iraqi waters, but no matter. I'm glad they've returned home safely, but what a fiasco. I don't know how you feel about it, but I think Ahmadinejad just stuck his finger right in the eye of Tony Blair and George Bush and comes out of the whole deal looking more credible than both of those bozos. And when a crackpot like Ahmadinejad ends up looking more believer, you know, more believable than the leader of the free world, then it's time for Junior Bush to hang it up, I think. But the one thing I was thinking, those British sailors should be eternally grateful for is that they weren't captured by U.S. forces. If they'd been grabbed by the United States, they would have been stripped naked and forced to pile on top of one another so American soldiers could stick flashlights up their behinds and take a few pictures for the folks back home and then waterboard them for a little while and then send them to Gitmo to rot without a trial until the end of time. That's what happens when the Americans get a hold of a lot of people. So actually, compared to getting captured by the American military, these Brits had it made in the shade, getting to play ping pong and dress in those snappy new clothes and come home with the Iranian goodie bags and sell their stories for a bundle of cash. Turned out pretty well for some of them. Let's try the phones here. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, good afternoon, Guy. Bill from Toledo.
Hi, Bill from Toledo. How you doing? The Glass City.
The Glass City, and how's things in the orange capital of the world?
Well, it's pretty doggone nice. I must tell you that it's been a bit warm and getting warmer. We had like 87 yesterday and around that again today, and it's supposed to be maybe 90 on Friday. So,
you think you could send maybe 10 or 15 degrees my way?
I understand you need it. I saw pictures of them cleaning out Cleveland Stadium with a loader the other day hauling snow out of there.
Yeah, that's the snowbelt, all right. Hey, I don't know, you ready for a rant today or what?
Yeah, what's up, Bill?
I was just thinking, you know, with this IMUS thing, which I'm not going to talk about it, but I thought with all the news that was coming out of Iraq and, you know, extending, they're going to extend all the soldiers over there.
That's the big story.
The big story, I mean, and they said they passed January, February, and March, over 80 soldiers killed each month, the first time since the war started that's happened. And now we've got almost 50 killed, and it's, what, March the 11th?
Yeah.
I mean, April the 11th.
And we've got Joe Lieberman and John McCain. Hey, things are getting better. It's finally getting better, you know. Yeah. You know, unlike the last time we said it was finally getting better, the time before that and one before that, really this time, really, 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 it's getting better.
Yeah, I like what McCain said, Guy. Excuse me for interrupting.
Oh, you're not interrupting.
I got a lot to say today is what the McCain said. Well, even if this cost me my presidency, I thought, you got to be kidding me. You really think you got a snowball's chance? I got a better chance of seeing 90-degree weather here than McCain has of winning tomorrow.
What is it? What is it? He has this innate ability to just distance himself from his political base somehow.
Oh, he sure does. You know, you got talking on St. Ronald Reagan there, and Jesus, I was reaching for the phone, you know. But you had your callers there, and then you had that trouble, so I didn't call. But do you know where Ronald Reagan got his big conversion from? Did you hear about that?
You fill us in.
Okay. Well, you know, when he started on that thing for, what was that show that he done for General Electric?
Oh, yeah, not the 20 Mule Team Borax thing. You're talking about the other one.
No, he was on it for 8 years.
Yeah, I you know, not being a big Reagan fan, I'm sorry, I don't know the answer to that. I remember it.
Well, no, I can't remember it either, guys. I hope you could help me out. But from what I understand, he was a real left-wing Democrat before he went on that show, and he got hooked up with GE,
yeah,
from what I understand. And once he was on that show, when he came out of there, he was as far to the right wing as a Republican as you could find, and it was all because of his education that he got there at GE.
And well,
I read a pretty good article on it, and that's what turned him in.
It was GE Theater.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah, it was GE Theater.
And the president and vice president had him go around the country, talk to GE workers and that. And they're the ones that got him to change to shrinking government. And, you know, he was the head of the actors union,
mm-hmm,
before he took that. And then once he came out, he was completely against unions. Of course, you know what he did there.
Oh, yeah, he fired the air traffic controllers, busted that union for a while.
He's got a real history behind him. And how that, well, you look at, you know, Bush winning two times, and you say, well, how could that Reagan have had that many people believed in him. He was a slick talker, and like you said, he was an actor.
Oh, yeah, and he was a charming man. He was a charming man. People, you know, everybody says, oh, Dutch Reagan, what a nice guy.
I guess you just can forget about all that stuff he did south of the border, like you were talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
That all gets swept under the rug, but if we can do what we're doing in Iraq, why couldn't Reagan do that little bit he did across the border?
Now, I do want to be fair to him. I always try and be fair on this program.
Don't do that.
I'm going to be fair. I actually thought that toward the end of his second term, when they were asking him questions about what went on with Iran-Contra and all that, I really thought that he was lying. And right now I've come to the conclusion that maybe he really didn't know that he was really on his way.
You think he wasn't running the show at the end?
No,
there?
No, I don't think he was.
So who was running the astrologers?
Yeah, what was her name? That crazy woman in New York that was giving Nancy all the
couldn't fly on a plane. They say no, we're going to have to cancel out on that.
Yeah.
But, what a great show you got going today, and some of your callers have called in. I really liked it. I liked the opening of your show with Jim there.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't heard from him for a long, long time.
I hadn't either.
I wish he'd call more often. He's an interesting guy to listen to.
Yeah.
I don't agree with him all the time, but most of the time I do agree with him.
Well, it'd be boring if we agreed all the time.
Yeah, listen, let me hang up so you can...
Good to hear from you, Bill.
Take care of yourself.
Oh, yeah. Bye now. Bill from Toledo. Let's head over here to line two. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, this is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
You mean we got through.
Oh, yeah.
Can I say something about the gentleman that called in? I thought he was the interview because I got in the show after he got started. He was talking about Amos, I guess.
Oh, uh-huh.
Can I talk about something, a couple of things he said?
Uh-huh.
Reason I would like to is because I'd like to let, if people are listening from overseas, that all Southerners don't think alike. And he was a pretty good guy. I don't mean any harm. But he was talking about all the things that people say, you know, about it's the people that do rap.
Oh, we lost Juanita. Sorry about that, Juanita. Don't know what happened there. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Kevin from Washington again.
Hi, Kevin.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to add, that guy was head-on with Reagan, which I was going to bring up earlier, but you know GE basically saved Ronald Reagan out of personal bankruptcy. If it wasn't for GE, Ronald Reagan would have died in poverty.
Ah.
But
boy, are we having a bunch of interference today. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to cut you off this line. I'm sorry. We got nothing but interference here today. I'm very, very, very sorry about that. I apologize.
Okay.
It's not here in the studio. Vonnie's just having a problem here. We found out during the break. Let's try it over on the other line here in just a moment. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. This is Susan in Columbia City.
Hi, Susan.
You were talking about Ronald Reagan and who was running the show towards the end. I can remember a really, really telling conversation in the Rose Garden. And the reporters were asking him questions, and somebody had a shotgun mic on him and Nancy. And he would stand there looking blank, and Nancy would mutter the answers. And normally you wouldn't be able to hear them, but because of that shotgun mic...
Oh, yeah. Well, he was. I think he was really suffering from a disease at that point. No one will ever convince me that the last year or 18 months or so of his second term that he wasn't pretty well gone.
I agree. I think he was pretty well gone, too.
Not that I remember everything all the time, either.
No, neither do I. I'm pretty well off in La La Land.
Yeah.
But, then again, I'm not trying to run a country.
Good point. They wouldn't want me running it either.
Yeah, you have a nice day, guys.
Hey, thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go back over and try this other line here. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, this is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
I don't know what happened. It just went dead.
Yeah.
No, the one thing, a couple of things I wanted to say was... as a Southerner, and you couldn't tell I'm a Southerner, can you?
Oh, no.
But anyway, he was talking about the Confederate flag and so forth, and you were too. And what I just wanted to say was I, too, have ancestors who were in the Civil War on both sides.
Uh-huh.
And I'm, you know, find it very interested in everything, but that doesn't make it.
Huh? My goodness, there we go. We lost Juanita again. Don't know what's happening here. Let's go over to this other line. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy.
Yes.
Yeah, what I wanted to say, recap, was that GE saved Ronald Reagan from personal bankruptcy. He would have died in poverty if it wasn't for GE, and it made him a millionaire.
Mm.
And, hey, if somebody wiped out all my debt and made me a millionaire, I would pitch their line, too.
Interesting take. That'd be a bit difficult to do, I think.
Yeah, and look now, GE's the world's largest defense contractor.
Yeah, yeah. That worked out okay for him.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, Bye. Thanks for your call. We better get hold of Vonage today and find out just what the heck. Hey, you know, somebody sent me an email and objected to what I said about the stars and bars of the Confederate flag. That's my opinion about it, and I have very strong opinions about that. I, too, had relatives that fought for the North and the South, just about an equal number of both. And I want to tell you exactly how I feel about that. I don't have any respect for that flag because that flag was something that fought against the United States of America, and I'm a citizen of the United States of America, and I would never respect a flag that fought against the Union of the States of the United States. Now, I know a lot of Southerners don't like hearing me saying that, but I really believe this. Everybody says, well, you know, they had Robert E. Lee. I would have hung Robert E. Lee for treason after the war was over. I would have. Because nice guy, gentleman, all that, good tactician, all that he was, and a great gentleman from everything I understand, it was treason what he did. He fought against his country. He chose the state of Virginia to fight for Virginia in the South rather than against the United States of America. And I am a student of history. I thought that was wrong. I thought it was treason. And I would have had Robert E. Lee hung. So there, shoot me. Well, a lot of Southerners don't like to hear me say that. I've been in some wild conversations over the years over that. But I firmly believe that. And I don't, you know, that's how it is. That probably would have included some of my own relatives that fought. And, of course, you don't hang the regular soldiers when it's over, just the perpetrators of the whole thing. And Robert E. was as much a perpetrator of the whole thing as anybody could be. But he chose to go back home and fight for his Virginia. And it didn't work out so well, but, well, not that bad. He's got a university named for him, so he didn't come out that bad in the whole deal. But that's a long time ago. And I do live in an area where there are a lot of crackers, I guess you would say, the people that do have the big old pickup trucks with the big tires and the 4x8 Confederate flag flying in the back, all in tatters and all that. Interesting to see that. It's not something I ever lived around until I moved to Florida about 10 years ago. And Florida really isn't the South. Not in the real southern part of Florida. Yes, I know it's geographically in the South, but if you want to see the southern part of Florida, the part that's the south is actually in the north, is up around the Big Bend area of Florida, up there where it bends and heads out to, on the panhandle. Believe me, up in that area, ooh boy, that's as much as the old south as you can get with attitudes and people and the whole business. Moss hanging from the trees and the whole business. 866-546-5254. If you'd like to give us a call, we still got time for. But you know, our caller there mentioned, Bill from Toledo. We're talking about Joe Lieberman and John McCain and how they think this war is just hunky dory and that we're going to win it. And all we got to do is stay the course. And this wonderful surge is doing so well. And it comes down to who you're going to believe. You're going to believe Joe Lieberman and John McCain, or how about the Red Cross? The International Red Cross released a report that found the situation for civilians in Iraq, and I'll quote the Red Cross, ever worsening. Even though security in some places has improved as a result of stepped-up efforts by U.S.-led multinational forces, Pierre Kallenbuehl, Director of Operations of the International Committee of the Red Cross, or the ICRC, said thousands of bodies lay unclaimed in mortuaries with thousands of bodies unclaimed in mortuaries with family members either unaware that they're there or too afraid to go recover them. And we had an eyewitness story here a month ago from a lady who went to the mortuary to claim the body, hoping that the people wouldn't kill her. She knew they'd kill the men in their family if they went. So, you know, and the medical professionals have been fleeing the country after cases where their colleagues were either killed or abducted, the Red Cross reports. And they also went on to say whatever operation that is today underway and that may be taken tomorrow and in the weeks after to improve the security of civilians on the ground may have an effect in the medium term. We're certainly not seeing an immediate effect in terms of stabilization for civilians currently. That is not our reading. And this is from a group, the Red Cross, the International Red Cross, who has been consistently right about Iraq and the effects of American policy on its detainees. And McCain and Lieberman, if you all remember, and I know you do, have been completely wrong about this from the very beginning. The very idea that Joe Lieberman and John McCain come out now and talk to us about this war and want us to believe a damn thing they say about it when they've been as wrong can be from day one. These two hawks supported everything that George Bush did. They supported everything George Bush did from day one. And now they want us to believe, listen to them? Come on, Lieberman and McCain. What are you, crazy? Who do they think they're dealing with? A bunch of morons? Well, I guess with their 30%ers, they know they're dealing with a bunch of morons. My God. They're over there telling us black is white and you know, and this deputy press secretary Dana Perino, did you see that yesterday? She said one of the dumbest things I think I've ever heard anybody in the White House say. And you'll have to admit, they said some pretty damn stupid things since Bush has been in office. But White House deputy press secretary Dana Perino defended President Bush's escalation or surge strategy as a response to polls indicating that a majority of Americans were disapproving of the administration's handling of the war in Iraq and sought a new direction. And she said, and I just about choked when I heard this, she said the American people have wanted change in Iraq, and they got it. The president announced a new policy on January the 10th that was quite different and divergent from where we were before. Man, oh man, oh man, liar, liar, pants on fire. Nobody in the White House is going to have any pants left. The American people voted for change. And Bush says, okay, I'll give you change, I'll give you more war, I'll send more people in. And they got the nads to say that in a press conference? Oh. the insanity of it all. My word, my word. Well, it's been an interesting day. We've had a lot of good calls. Sorry about the phone trouble. It's not here in the studio. Vonage is having a little bit of a problem this afternoon, and I'm sure they'll get it straightened out so that we can hear you all crystal clear tomorrow. But I do thank everybody that calls the program. Always enjoy hearing your comments. We love to have our new callers, our old callers. We like them all. That's what makes the show interesting, not me. Hey, thanks so much for being with us today. You've been listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. It's been a pleasure being with all of you this afternoon, and we look forward to being back in this chair tomorrow. Same time, same place. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Have a good one, gang. See you tomorrow.